So we're finishing up a series. We talked about walking by faith, what it looks like to be servants for two Sundays. Now we're two Sundays looking at what it means to walk by faith in leadership, faith that leads. And this is the second part. Last week we looked at elders, okay? The concept of elders didn't start with the church. It predates the church. You can follow it through the history of the Hebrew nation, all the way back to the time after Moses, by the hand of God, led Israel out of Egypt. And then they're wandering in the desert, and Moses found it a little difficult to administer everything. And so his father-in-law, Jethro, said, "You need to enlist some men to help you." All right? And so he enlisted a group of men that would help him govern, and the harder challenges would come to Moses, and they would take care of the lesser challenges. So you can follow it all the way back to there. And that concept of leaders called elders who are guiding and directing and shepherding the nation, you follow that all the way through the Jewish history. You come into the Gospels, most of the concept of elders, it's all related to the nation of Israel. You want to know why? There is no church in the Gospels. Now, it's written in the church age, looking back prior to the church, but it starts to take place after the church is born, and they adopted that concept of elders as shepherds, as leaders, as managers, and so on in the local church. The first ones that really filled that job were the apostles, Peter, James, John, and the like. Okay? Now, the concept of deacons, it comes up later. You don't find that necessarily throughout the history of Israel. You find it as the church is growing, and the apostles, who in effect are serving as elders, Peter himself claimed himself to be one. But what happens is the church is really growing, the gospel's doing its work, and then all of a sudden there's more than they can do. And so they decided, this little problem happened, okay? You had the Grecian Jews and the Hebrew Jews. And they were kind of concerned because, if I remember right, the Grecian Jews, their widows and orphans, they were not getting cared for. Nobody means to slight anybody. It's just what happens because it got too big. And so they said, well, we'll start a whole new segment of leadership in the church and call them deacons, servants, those who serve. Technically, all it means is those who wait on tables, like a waitress or a waiter, those who are helping other people. And we find that in Acts chapter 6. That's where we generally understand that the role of a deacon and the role of an elder occurred. Okay? Elder's already been there, and the deacon was added to it. All right? We know that both elders and deacons are offices of the church because you find it in 1 Timothy 3. This is what they should be, and it talks about character qualities. Okay? So now you got the history of elders and the history of deacons and how they come about. So today we're going to talk about the deacons and their role in the church. So the outline looks like this. Deacons model true service. Deacons assist the elders. Deacons serve the family. And then we'll look at some of the biblical qualifications. Not many. So we want to start there about deacons. They model true service. Okay? I'm going to tell you something, and I say this every time, and we kind of listen, and some of us hold on to it, and some of us really don't. These character qualities of both elders and deacons, they're not just for somebody else that you get to hold them accountable to. That's dumb, right? They're supposed to have this immaculate Christian character, and we don't have to, and we hold them accountable. Think about the illogic of that. The role of elder, the role of deacon, deaconess. That's what you should be working for. Not necessarily to fill the office, but to live the same character qualities that are laid out. Do you understand? The elders are to lead by example. If they're to lead by example, it doesn't mean you get to point a finger and say, nee, nee, nee. What that means is you need to follow. And so when we look at the elder qualities and we look at the deacon qualities, we should be looking at those, yes, to choose our leaders well, but more importantly, to evaluate your own life and how you're doing with the Lord. Because if you're a person that does not have good respect among people, you're not doing well as a Christian. If you're not managing your home well, you're not doing well as a believer. if you're, and we could go off on all these other things, right? So when I leave the list out there for you, they're not there necessarily only for you to decide if somebody has quality character or not. They're actually out there for you to look at and to measure your own life and to say, am I measuring up? Now, I venture to say most of us are not. So don't ball it up, throw it away, and go, I give up. What it means is the Holy Spirit wants you to aspire to that character quality. That is Christ-likeness, if you want, in a model. So now we're going to talk about deacons' model true service. So you need to understand the deacons are not the only ones. It's not their job to serve the body. It's our job. Yes, it's the elders. Yes, it's the deacons. And yes, it's you. It's us. We're to serve one another. No, but we need to choose well our leadership. And so there is a measure of judgment that goes on there, right? Should I affirm or not? Okay. So if you're in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, this is the occasion in Scripture that generally gets pointed to as when the deacons began. You know one of these deacons very well. His name is Stephen. Becoming a deacon was not necessarily a good career move for him, because it wasn't very long later, some guy named Saul held everybody's cloaks while they stoned Stephen to death because he served Jesus. Okay? You know who Saul is, right? Later known as Paul. Yep. And because he has a whole new life, God gives him a whole new name. You have a whole new life too. All right, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews, that just means those Jews who have been abroad and they're forgetting their Hebrew, their mother tongue would be Greek because that's the mother tongue of everybody back then. They knew other languages, but that was the one that to be out and about, you needed to know Greek. So, in those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. Those are the Jews who stayed closer to Jerusalem, and they knew their Hebrew really well. They knew Greek too, but they knew the Hebrew really well. So there's a division taking place. There's a potential division of the church. It goes on. They complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. That does not mean that as a church we're always daily distributing food, but it does mean so in their day. That was the case. To be a Christian, the oppression was great. Some of the persecution was great. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they pulled all that they had to help those who were being persecuted more, and they had very little. Okay? So that's what's going on in the context. That's why there's a distribution of food, because it's really hard to get a job as a Christian. It goes on. So the 12, by the way, in your Bible, that should be capitalized. The 12 is always a reference to the apostles. All right? The 12. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. There's the concept of deacon, wait on tables. Brothers, talking to believers, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Why 7? Because that's the figure they come up with. Is 7 something special? Not in this case. Does that mean every church has to have 7? No. That means in their occasion, 7 is what apparently would fill the bill. Then he goes on, choose 7 among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility, waiting of tables, feeding of these people, over to them, and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. So, these are the ones who are going to become known as deacons. This is where that whole concept comes into play. It is in 1 Timothy 3, a title, a position, an office. But throughout Scripture, it's used as a verb most of the time, as far as serving. It is used for us, serving one another. It is served as the leadership, serving the flock. It's used of all of us when we're choosing to serve for God's love and God's way. So, letter A, how do they model true service? First of all, letter A, by loving God. Just like with elders, Elders need to watch over themselves and make sure that they're in step with the Holy Spirit and obeying the Lord. It is that model that you're to follow. The deacons, in the same like, they're to be loving God. I've given you a verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It's a verse that Jesus uses in Matthew 22. It's a verse that's really important in this church. You're going to hear it when I read from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Did you ever hear Jesus say that? He was cornered and they thought they had him. Okay? Because it was an endless debate between the religious leaders, what is the most important law of the Ten Commandments. And so they put it to Jesus, and whatever law he says, there's going to be a group who's going to say, right on, and there's going to be masses that say, uh-uh, and it's going to cause, and then nobody's going to hear Jesus talk about calling them into repentance in the kingdom. So Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." And we'll look at the next one. "Love your neighbor as yourself." So he gets it from Deuteronomy 6, something that he, as God, had Moses pen and teach the people. By the way, loving God summarizes the first 4, 5, 10 commandments. That's the whole gist, is to love God. Okay, they need to have a compelling desire to honor the Lord. That is to practice God's ways. And it begins there. The best way for a deacon to serve you is to be honest and forthright before the Lord and to just value God's ways and learn to live in them. Again, we're not putting up people as perfection. This side of heaven, impossible. And what bothers me sometimes is churches, they look at their leadership, elders and deacons, and they hold them to a perfection. But these are people that are not yet qualified to be there. For me, that's really weird. In the Bible, elders and deacons were appointed. Okay? A compelling desire to honor God and to practice God's ways. How do they do that? Well, they watch their own walk, and they learn to grow in Christ, and they learn to love God's word. But then they become examples. And they show you what it's like to be devoted to God's word. You have some really good deacons and deaconesses. And they are demonstrating to you what it means to be sold out to God's word and to live according to God's ways. And then the second part of that is being devoted to God's people. Hey, when we talk about deacons, it is focusing on the body of Christ, the local flock, this fellowship, us. They do not think it's wrong for them to focus on those outside of this flock. But if they focused all on the outside of the flock and forgot about us, that would be the problem. You see, they need to model true service, and they're focused on like delivering firewood and helping people in the community. And so they are serving us by saying we got to keep our eyes on the lost. It is far too easy for believers to forget about the lost. And our deacons, as well as elders and such, we're to keep our focus out there. So first of all, how do they model true service? Well, by loving God. And then letter B, by loving others. Love God, love others. Now I'm going to give you Leviticus 19:18. This verse is also summarized in Matthew 22. By the way, this particular verse shows up throughout Scripture. Leviticus 19:18, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people." In other words, be a forgiver. You cannot have God's kind of love and not forgive. God's love will compel you to honestly forgive one another. "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as..." Yeah. Sometimes we don't like ourselves very much, so we treat our neighbor like we like us. You need to understand your value is that you've been created in the image of God. Your value is found in the one who created you, not in you. Okay? And so we need to put our value in Christ. And if we learn to love ourselves, and Christ died on the cross for us, that's pretty deep love, then we begin to realize, I'm worth more than I think I am sometimes, but I'm not worth as much as I boast I am. And it puts a balance, humility, and I begin to love my neighbors, myself. The very last part of Leviticus 19:18 says, I am the Lord. It's to give emphasis, a command to this whole concept of loving one another. So as a deacon, we model true service by, first of all, learning to love God, by honoring Him and living His way, by being an example of God's Word to the people and be devoted to God's people, and then here, love one another. We value fellowship. I love the Deacons Roundup. That's one way of having fellowship. We get together and just have a good time. Nothing real heavy, nothing real significant, other than we're hanging together and we're kicking off the whole new year, and I think it's a great thing. Fellowship is really important, and your deacons love the fellowship of the body. They also value serving God's flock, and so hopefully they're challenging you. Are you serving? Where are you serving? How can we help you? How can we teach you? That's how they model, because they're already doing it themselves. Much of this that I say about deacons has already been applied to the elders. Now the deacons just are serving the physical needs of the body. Okay? Please, do not walk out of here going, ooh, now I know how better to keep my deacons and elders accountable. You should walk out of here and go, ooh, now I can see in a nutshell, 1 Timothy 3, what I should aspire to. What character qualities I as a believer should have. Look at number 2 now. We're going to look at deacons assist the elders. When we read through Acts chapter 6, that's the heart and soul of it. People were being forgotten because it got a little too big. And so that we don't forget people, by the way, when you start forgetting people and you realize it and you don't address it, you don't love them. But we're here to love God's way. And so it's brought up to them and they begin to go, yeah, that's no good. But wait a minute, we're doing all we can. There's certain things that we need to be about, and these are taking us from it. Hey, let's put a whole nother layer of leadership, those that are not governing, those who are serving those who govern, the elders, and let's put them together. So, verse 2, the second half, after the problem has been brought up, the apostles say it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Do you understand? There's a real tendency to do this. A real tendency in some believers. We need to just go be the church and serve. And stop talking about what the Bible says. Other than the Bible says, go and serve. We're neglecting an awful lot of things that the Holy Spirit thought was really critical and important for us to know. Service is based on the teaching of Scripture. And we got to know what God is saying and doing. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. They're not saying waiting on tables or servicing is wrong, but they're saying we cannot do it at the expense of understanding God's ways and calling people to the standard. Then it goes on in verse 3, the second half. We will turn this responsibility over to them, the seven people, seven men, and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Deacons has the real concept of waiting on tables, feeding those who don't have enough. That's in this whole context. They're serving the physical needs. They're not taking care of the spiritual needs. They're taking care of those physical needs so that they're not a hindrance to the elders doing their job. So letter A, how do deacons assist the elders? By releasing them to oversee God's flock. Who oversees God's flock? It is the elders. It's not you. It's not individuals within the church. If you must do that, then you've chosen the wrong leaders. God, it says in the verses we looked at last week, it's the Holy Spirit that appoints them. You affirm them. And so then you follow and trust your leaders. These deacons make it possible for the elders to oversee God's flock. Remember what oversee means. It's more than just being there when somebody's in the hospital. It's so much more than that. It's the responsibility for the spiritual health of the flock. It is the board. It's the elders' responsibility to make sure that we're on task and moving forward. It's the elders who are to address those who, like in Acts 20, are from the outside trying to cause harm or from the inside trying to cause unrest. It's the elders' job to go see that. And when the deacons are waiting on tables and taking care of the physical and the financial needs, it frees the elders up to focus and do that, and do that well. The elders, their overall job is to manage the local church. That's what it tells us in Scripture. That's what we looked at last week. So the deacons free them up to do what they're called to do. As shepherds, be overseers, 1 Peter. Then letter B. By releasing them to teach God's word. Notice what they said. We can't do a good job waiting on tables and minister the word of God. Teach it, okay? We got to make a choice. Let's find somebody to do this so that we can do what we're called to do. Elders are to provide the spiritual food. By the way, all pastors are elders. All elders are not necessarily pastors in the sense that Pastor Brandon and I are called as pastors. Okay? But we all serve together as elders of the church. Elders are to provide the spiritual food. Okay? By the way, when it's all prepared and laid out there for you and we're trying to live it, it's your responsibility to pick up the fork, the knife, and the spoon and eat the meal. Okay? To learn. Deacons are, they free the elders to be the focus of spiritual needs. Okay? And so you have deacons, their job mainly is to supervise the helping ministries of the church. We'll lay those out here in a little bit. But they're to supervise our care groups. We have care groups. Every person that attends this church on a regular basis, they're all put into groups, and each deacon is to oversee that. They're to make sure that they're being connected in fellowship. They're to make sure that they're helping one another in different ways. Somebody has a need and nobody really knows about it. That care group, through their deacon, is to filter through and help those people. Care groups, we're to connect with our shut-ins, people who just can't make it to church, and meet their emotional and physical and those needs. To connect with the hospitalized, those who are sick, okay? Different things like that. They're to release the elders. I didn't say the elders do not participate in this, but it's not their primary function. It's the primary function of the deacons to make sure this kind of helping work is happening, so that the elders can focus on teaching and decision-making and making sure that we're staying healthy and protected. Okay? The letter C, the third thing, and this comes right out of verses 3 and 4, so that they can give their attention to prayer and ministry of the word. So the next letter C is, by releasing them to pray for God's flock. Your elders are praying regularly for you. Both members and non-members, but regular attenders, everybody who's part of the family. The fourth Tuesday of every month, we have a formal time where we come together and we just spend time in prayer. We used to do a time of training, but that turned into Sunday night now, and so now it's all prayer on that night, unless there's some pressing business, which is very seldom. But they pray for you throughout the week. We encourage them to have a directory and pray for the different people in the church, and so they're involved. They want to know what your prayer requests are. They're attuned to the prayer list that's out here, and other prayers that don't make it to that list but are kept private. So they spend time in prayer. Here's the backlash. Positive. Are you praying for your leadership? You should be praying for your leadership on a regular basis. You should be praying for the ministry of this church on a regular basis. You should be praying for one another. Prayer is critical. It is critical in our fellowship. What should we be praying? Here's three general areas I think should be the summary of our prayers. That we grow spiritually in every situation. It's one thing to pray, Carrie has breast cancer, and it's one thing to pray that she is comfortable and safe. Thank you for that. This church is very loving. What I would really like for you to make sure you're doing is praying that Carrie and I and my girls and their husbands, that we grow in Christ somehow through this situation. I hate to just make sure she gets healthy and we get done and we go, ooh, praise the Lord for my health. I'd rather praise the Lord. Here's what we've learned. Please, when we're praying for one another, our physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs, we need to be praying first and foremost that we are growing in Christ in the midst of the situation, that are learning to walk by faith. Okay? Here's another area in which we ought to pray for, that our devotion to Christ increases. Because I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. And Satan wants your devotion to the Lord to decrease. Satan wants devotion to yourself to replace. He wants you to say, yeah, I love the Lord, I'm devoted to the Lord, but here's what I want. This is what Satan wants. Especially in churches that are healthy and really loving the Lord and preaching the word right. You know, I'm going to be teaching a class on angels, demons, and Satan. And I've had two or three people say with wide eyes, I'm going to pray for you. And I ask, why? Because Satan doesn't like to be exposed and he's going to attack you. And I said, I've already under attack, okay? So he's not going to attack anymore. You know what drives Satan nuts? Not that I'm exposing in a class what he is, because all you got to do is open the Bible. You know what really drives him nuts and causes him to attack? When we collectively are loving one another and spreading God's word. That's when Satan attacks. How do I know that? He put Jesus on the cross. He tried to end the gospel. But instead, he did exactly what the Lord had wanted him to do. So pray that our devotion to Christ increases, not just individuals, but as a body, as a flock. And here's the third area to pray for, that our love for each other grows. Jesus walking with his disciples, one of the biggest discipleship focuses that he had, love one another. A new command I give unto you. It's really not new. It's new to them because they're not practicing it, but to love one another as I have loved you. When you have that kind of love for one another, then people will know that you're my disciples. You see, and what Satan wants us to do is anything but love one another. Wants us to be critical, wants us to be picky, wants us to challenge every detail of every decision. He wants us to be so distracted that we cannot live for Jesus. Because when we are together living for Jesus, it drives Satan nuts. That's not why we do it. We do it because this world needs Jesus. All right? So pray that our love for each other will grow. All right. So they assist the elders. Then there's a third thing that deacons do. Deacons serve the family. Now, that is not to say that the elders don't. The elders do in a different way. They do in a leadership way. They do in spiritual feeding way. They do in that protecting way. The deacons do it in a serving way. And both are service, but theirs is focused. I'm going to give you Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It says God gives four important people to the church. People. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. For the purpose of to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is a major theme in the New Testament. If we are not helping, using our spiritual gifts and building each other up because we love the Lord and we love one another, this tells us that we have an unhealthy church. We cannot grow unless we are loving God, loving each other, and we are serving one another. That's what the works of service are for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ may be mature, not lacking in anything, not tossed to and fro as the paragraph continues. So today we're talking about deacons. And they're to serve the family. Remember, they're not to do it alone. It's not like my deacon didn't serve me. Time out. We serve each other. Here's another verse from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, same section where the character qualities are found. It says, at the end of those character qualities, "Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus." There's a reward that is promised for those who serve well. It's in the context of both elders and deacons. But the concept is throughout Scripture when we learn to serve one another, walking by faith. All right, so here's three areas that I've listed out as far as deacons serving the family. Number one, by helping with physical needs. Okay? Now, this is not the deacons doing all the work. Shame on them if that's what they do. Because when you have just a few deacons, deaconesses, and they're serving the church, they can only do so much. You know what their real job is? Call you into service. We need some wood split out here so that we can deliver it to people in the community who don't have enough to heat themselves, right? It's not like the deacons show up and have a party, but it's to encourage the church to come and be a part. Properties committee has got a thing at the back talking about some areas in which to help with the physical needs of the church. It's an opportunity to be a part, okay? There are some money figures there. If you feel like you can contribute to that, great. Please do not, I got to be a good shepherd. Please don't limit your tithe. Your tithe should stay the same. Any of that extra giving's over and above. But helping with physical needs. This is involving the family to serve each other. Here's just some ideas. Serve each other with meals, okay? We've already had people doing that for us. In fact, we had two meals show up on the same day. So we ate like a king and a queen for a little bit there, okay? But the deacons, through the care groups, they help with helping with meals when people are struggling. Brad and Melissa Hudson, their whole family, they've been blessed. You know what they commented? Melissa says, "I didn't realize how cool our church family is." You see, that's when you're learning to serve one another, okay? Another thing, home repairs or car repairs, especially for widows and single moms and the elderly. Now, I need to throw a caution out here. There's a limit. Our deacons are not a construction crew, and they are not mechanics. Okay, we do have mechanics in the church, but we cannot take advantage of that. But they're there to help meet some of those needs. Okay? All right. So they help with those physical needs. You see, if the elders were all about that, we wouldn't have time to preach. I had a cartoon one time. And the pastor, it's one of those calendar things you flip, and it was at Coos Bay. So the pastor's up on the roof. He's got the nail apron on, nails in his mouth, and he's hammering shingles on the roof, on the peak there. And then there's another person of the church, and he goes, "Pastor, I really like a pastor who can help put on a roof, but your sermons have been really struggling lately." Do you understand the gist of the comic? He's putting too much time into the physical and not enough time into the spiritual. This is more critical. Both are important. So your deacons are to help the elders with those issues, and you should be helping your deacons and deaconesses. The letter B, by helping with financial needs. Okay? This is how we demonstrate God's love and care in all of these three areas. Sometimes finances is a really important one. When we can relieve an important financial problem, it should free up people to focus on Jesus. As that obstacle is removed, they get to refocus on something other than the pressing, okay? We need to be careful, though. There's limits on this. Your deacons are not a bank account. They don't have a continual source of cash. I was at Coos Bay. I wasn't there very long. And there were four people who were constantly going to the deacons every single month and requesting money. You know what they were doing? That was their income. Under the table. They were cheating the system. But that was their income. So Pastor Jerry come on board and he says, "Well, that's not what the deacon's fund is meant for. How about we sit down with them and ask how we can help with their budget? Because that's the bigger problem." Three of them said, uh-uh, and they left the church and went someplace else and did the same thing. One of them said, oh, that would be helpful. So they sat down with her, and they helped her with her budget, and next thing you know, she had more than enough money to make it through the month. That's what your deacons are there for, to help with those finances. And sometimes they step in and ask, can we have a look at your budget? And it's not somebody, it's not Big Brother looking over your shoulder. It's a real brother or sister coming in and saying, can we help you so that you don't have to depend on others? Okay. So they serve the family by helping with physical needs, by helping with financial needs, literacy, by helping with emotional needs. This is what your care groups are there for. We mentioned this already. They're there to encourage fellowship. They're there to encourage mutual care. They're there to encourage church involvement and connection, right? Hey, we got this thing going on with the Hispanic crew, and in my opinion, you ought to hear from your deacon and saying, did you hear about it? What are you thinking about it? Or, hey, we got a men's breakfast coming up, and they've got a speaker, and this is what's going to happen. Have you thought about going? So they're encouraging that connection. One more thing they do in relation to this. They should be helping us keep our eyes on the community abroad. That's why they give on a monthly basis to the resource center, right? So that they can help people with extra needs. And there are times a resource center will call up and say, we're out of funds, can you help? And our deacons, if they can, they say, yeah. So that's why they reach out into the community. They're an example to us to what we should be doing. Also under the emotional needs, it's not the deacon's job to become the spiritual feeders and helpers. You got quality ones, they can do that. But when they discover somebody who has a real need spiritually, they should be passing it on to the elders, because in the Bible, the elders are the ones that are to take care of that. I guarantee you, when it happens, we take care of it together, deacons and elders. But if your deacons don't know the spiritual issues you're going through, how in the world can I figure out what to preach next? I need to hear these types of things. And there are people who have physical, financial, emotional problems. And sometimes they don't want to talk to anybody. This is a strange community. They just keep quiet. And then after the fact, somebody gets through it, then they start talking about it. If we're able to connect with them and have them have a place to be able to share, I'm having a hard time. And here's why. It gives the leadership the opportunity to be a blessing. Okay? All right. One more thing we need to talk about. Biblical qualifications for deacons. We have, just like we do with the elders, the list of all the character qualities in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 7 through about 12, 11 or 12. And that's on all the deacons and their qualifications. There's a couple, a few of them that are pulled from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 as well. Again, don't walk by and go, oh, I've seen them before. I challenge you to walk by and pin them up somewhere and say, how am I doing with that one? How am I doing with that one? Where do I need to grow with this one? All right? Not me, you. Okay? But here's a couple things I'd like to mention, because every once in a while this gets to be questioned. So if you're in 1 Timothy 3 at this point, that would be a good thing. I'm going to show you some grammar context. I'm going to show you the context in general. We have both deacons and deaconesses. Some churches only have deacons. Let me lay this out first and foremost. Scripture is very clear that elders are men, not because men are better, but because God chose so. And so it's gender specific, all right? In that whole verse, first verse of chapter 3, it talks about his heart, he, and so on and so forth. It comes down to verse 8, and this is number 1, the context under letter A. So it comes down to verse 8, and it says, deacons, likewise. And so it's made a change in subject matter. It's no longer talking about the elders, but grammatically and contextually, it's starting to talk about deacons. And there's no mistake, these are male. And then it comes down to verse 11. It says, in the same way, the Greek structure there is likewise. It's the same word as when it opened up for deacons. So contextually, what it's doing is saying, and here are some different ones for deacons, and then here in verse 11, here's some different ones for somebody else. Okay. Who's that somebody else? Look at number two, the grammar. 1 Timothy 3:11, it says in the same way, the next word in the Greek is gune. Funny word, huh? You know what that word means? It can mean woman, or it can mean the wife of the deacon. All right? There's nothing in the context to specify either way. I think Scripture allows for you to take it either way you want, because there's nothing grammatically, there's nothing contextually, there's nothing conflicting in Scripture. In fact, Phoebe is known as a deaconess in, I forget where she's found, in the book of Romans, maybe Philippians, but she is titled as a deaconess. Okay? So 1 Timothy 3:11 says, in the same way, and we understand this to be, women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. The whole context here, it's something different than elders, something different than deacons, something specifically for, and I don't think it has relation to the deacons' wives, because we don't have anything for the elders' wives, do we? That seems a little more important if they're the ones going to make decisions and govern the church. So the whole context and the whole grammar looks like it best supports the concept of lady deacons or deaconesses. By the way, they're very helpful in the role of deacon and the physical and the emotional and the financial needs. If you have a single lady, a deaconess is the best to go meet her needs. When you have a single lady, it's better if a deaconess is there to bring maybe a deacon along to help with repairs and such. So there's great value in having a deaconess. I think God knows that. Smarter than me, isn't he? Okay. And again, elders are gender specific. All right. So in that deacon and deaconess committee, okay, when it comes time to select elders, we don't select them from the deaconesses, because God's forbidden that. But we'll take men who have proven themselves from the deacon side. All right? So that's why we have deaconesses in this church, because Scripture more than allows for it. The last thing there is the qualifications. They should be on the back table, just like they were for elders. All right? They're a little different. Elders are chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 7. And then verses 8 and following are for the deacons. In there, verse 11 is related to the wife. I want you to use this list of character qualifications. You need to be taught well and choose your leadership well. If you don't, what we have are people gossiping off in corners and complaining and whining and crying and trying to manipulate or trying to micromanage your elders and your deacons. And you just don't need that. That's not a healthy church. So you're taught well as we go through this. But that list of qualifications should identify, are these people fitting this? But then you need to get off of that and you need to measure yourself. Are you fitting this? So here's some applications for you. Number one, focus on the character qualities in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 13 to help you mature in Christ. That's what I just said earlier. Then number two, consider becoming a deacon or deaconess to help our church, North Mason church family, care for itself well. I don't know. It's always a challenge to find deacons for whatever reason. I don't know why. I think it would be an honor to serve you. I think it is an honor to serve you. And if you're being asked, your leadership has thought it through. And it's as good as a nudge from the Holy Spirit to suggest you ought to step into the role. So I think you would help your deacons, you would help your elders, you would help this church family if you stepped into a role that you've been asked to. Consider it. Then number three, consider how you can show encouragement and appreciation to your elders and deacons. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? You have a pastor appreciation month, which is very much appreciated. Have you ever done that for your deacons and your elders? Don't wait for your elders to say, okay, now you're going to appreciate us this week. It's not fair. Don't wait for the deacons to say, this month we're going to celebrate the deacons. It's not fair. It should come from you, and you should thank them for their service and honor them. Okay? All right. I thank you for listening today. Next week, we'll be back in the book of Proverbs. And I had a whole lot of fun. It's already prepared, ready to go, and it's on controlling anger. So, which you guys probably don't need to bother with, but you might want to come, and so you can tell others how they're supposed to behave.